garden party to reminisce with my old friends. A chance to share old memories and play our songs again.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We're having a little garden party here this morning on Pep Talk.
Yeah, and you invited Ricky Nelson.
There you go.
In the studio. Ricky, nice to have you.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Here you can hear Mr. Mike Wiggins is in the house with the Garden Line this morning on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg at News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So, the garden party, being with friends. Mike and I have known each other for years, so it's so much fun to have you here every week.
Well, I cannot tell you how much fun it is to have you here.
Ah,
this is great, great stuff, and I really appreciate it. We can have a good time.
We sure can.
And in the meantime, and maybe every now and then talk about gardening a little bit.
But we'll throw it in there, a couple of plants here and there.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Otherwise, we'll just sit and kind of gossip.
Yes, gossip is good.
Oh, it's fun. There's no doubt about it. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving. We have so much to be grateful for.
Oh, don't we ever?
You know, I just, Andrew did a little thing this morning on the morning show, and he was talking about, he had interviewed the folks over at Waterfront Mission, and he was talking, you know, about realizing how much we do have, and there's so many folks out there that are hurting this holiday season, and Waterfront does so much every single day, year round, to help the homeless. And as I was listening on the radio, and I thought, I don't have those things to worry about. I'm a very blessed person. I have a home. I have friends. I have, you know, family that will be with me, and it's just, well, whew, a lot to be grateful for.
I totally agree with all that. But you know one thing, if you, well, you just have to listen to the radio. The wonderful things that the people in Pensacola do for those that need help.
It's extraordinary, really. This community is outstanding.
We really are. We are a giving community. And when it comes to Christmas, I mean, Brent Lane and Sue, you know, do the...
Oh, Communities Caring at Christmas.
Sandy doing Communities Caring at Christmas. And then everything that Cat Country does and 1620, you know, with... All the philanthropic things that are done. I don't know if other communities are quite as giving as ours.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I just don't know.
This is amazing. They just did on Cat Country, which is our sister station, mm-hmm. the Miracle on Palafox on Sunday and raised money for United Way.
Sure.
Incredible.
Exactly. And you watch a little Channel 3 and, you know, you just see all these cars lined up, you know, at the mall.
Oh, yes.
Dropping off food, you know. Filling the Mayflower.
That was Friday. I was out there Friday too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So in any event, we are blessed. Meg, you are, and I am, and very, very fortunate for that. But it's so great that we can also help those in need.
Absolutely. So this is the time to be thinking about your neighbor, somebody that you may know that lives alone. You know, maybe reach out to them or bring a pie. And pies don't cost very much. Just do a little something maybe that'll help them feel a little less alone.
I heard your discussion about pies with Andrew, by the way, as I was driving to the studio. And,
you know.
And I had an answer for him.
What was your answer?
Well, of course.
The question was.
The folks who have tuned in for the Garden Line.
Yes, sorry.
Say, what are they talking about? But he asked, which is your favorite Thanksgiving?
The pie. Right.
And
when do you eat it? Right after dinner? Like with dinner or later?
Well, I had an easy answer. My favorite is the pecan pie.
Uh-huh.
My grandson's favorite is the chocolate pie, and they can't get to it quick enough. None of this waiting.
That happens during the Macy's parade, right?
Exactly.
In the morning.
Exactly. Okay, I'm through with the turkey now. Where's my chocolate pie?
That's right.
Exactly. So it's all fun.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
All fun. Absolutely. And so many of my grandchildren, I shouldn't say so many, they're all here.
How many grandchildren do you have?
I have 10.
No, you don't.
I have 10.
Oh, my goodness.
I do, but it's not a but what is really fun this time of year, I've got 5 in college, and they're
Get
all
out.
Home, and they're all going to be home.
How is that possible with somebody that's only 40 years old?
I'm very young when I...
I got started real young.
Absolutely. Well, a little bit of gardening talk here.
Yeah, let's get back to the subject. So we are on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and this is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, and he is truly our Pensacola expert on gardening.
Well, I'll tell you right now, of course, as we always say, we always kind of start the show with the weather because it dictates what we do and what we don't do insofar as landscaping and gardening and that type of thing. And I kind of went to my weather channel, and we're going to get cold. We're going to get cold.
I saw that. Are we going on the 30s this weekend?
It looks like I even jotted it down here. It looks like Friday we may be a low of about 37. Saturday of 39.
Brr.
And Monday maybe 36. Whoa. Those are lows.
I don't like that.
No, and they're very, very close to being where you have a frost.
Right.
Or you could even have a freeze if the predictors are a little bit off. And, of course, where you live makes all the difference. Here in Pensacola or Gulf Breeze, whatever, you know, we're going to be a little warmer than our good friends up in Milton. We might hear from Lisa from Milton today to tell us what she's doing. I think last time she's building a little greenhouse to protect her plants. So we need to do that. We need to react to all of this cold weather. And if we're going to be down into, you know, the 30s, we are headed that way, of course, into winter. So do just a few things. We talked about a lot of this last week. We don't need to dwell on it. But don't forget, if you see the cold coming and we haven't had a rain prior to that, water the plants. And it's not necessarily important to water the foliage of the plants. Just get the soil around it, the bed around it. That's the most important part. And, of course, if you're really going to protect your plants, purchasing a frost cloth, which is really a fancy blanket that you can put over your plants. And remember, I think we've said this two shows in a row, the problem if you just cover the foliage and not the trunk.
Right. You mentioned that last week.
The lollipop effect, remember?
That's what I think of. Yes.
The lollipop effect, because you need to put that frost cloth all the way over the plant and get some bricks or whatever and anchor it on the ground so it doesn't blow off. But that you're going to get some heat coming up from the ground that's going to help protect those plants. Also, you could put some lights in there. You know,
really?
Not LED lights. You could just put some, like, Christmas lights, if you will.
Huh. The ones that generate heat.
Yes, exactly. And that will help the temperature-wise, maybe 6 to 8 degrees, which may make all the difference insofar as protecting your plants. So, anyway, we're headed into some cold weather. We all need to. Oh, and one other thing I neglected to mention. I think mulching is critical. Pine straw is really good if you've got some, you know, you got your camellias out there. Go out and put pine straw around them and your other plants that need protecting, because not only will that help with protection from the cold, but it's just good for the environment. Because if we get some of these strong fronts coming through with some hard rain, you don't want all that dirt and whatever to work into the street, into the gutter, because eventually it'll work into the bay. And so
right.
let's keep that from happening. And also, one other thing, this is not really weather related, but when you're raking the leaves off your yard, which you should do, you should get them off the yard, don't pile them in the street. Same principle there. If you put them in the street, they're going to wash where they shouldn't go. It's going to be a stormwater problem. So a few little things like that that we do this time of year make a huge difference.
And especially with the cold coming in this weekend.
Absolutely.
Today the day to do those kinds of things, or do you wait till, I think the front's coming through, well, I think on Thanksgiving Day, they've got a 30% chance of rain. So probably Friday's when the temperatures are going to really drop. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So then when do you take these actions? Do you wait till the day of, or
with covering the plants, you just got to watch the weather. When they say, you know, we're going to have a frost or a freeze, go to it. Watering, if it doesn't rain in any of these fronts coming through in the next week or so, just put your sprinkler system back on just for a little bit. That's probably the way to do it. Just kind of watch the weather and react accordingly.
All right. We are here on the Garden Line on Pep Talk this morning on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you've got a question for Mike, please give us a call or text in at 850-437-1620. We'll be back right after the break. Good morning. This is Pep Talk with Meg on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, and this is the Garden Line, a whole hour of things to do and ways to take care of your landscape and your gardening with our expert, Mr. Mike Wiggins. And we do have a question that came in already. If you do have a question, you can text us at 850-437-1620. This is a question about palms. This is a big palm that's in the yard. He sent a picture. When do I need to fertilize these palms? I have another one, a little larger, and that's from Steve on the Bay.
Steve on the Bay, happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks for the text. Insofar as fertilizing the palms, I think I'd just kind of cool it. Since we're moving into some colder weather, fertilizer, of course, for many plants, for most plants, will generate some new growth. And I'm not sure it's really what you want at this point. But not the secret, but one thing to do with those palms is pay attention to two things. One, buy a good palm fertilizer, and this we're talking springtime here, March, April, that time frame. Buy a good palm fertilizer that has magnesium sulfate in it. That is a minor element that palms really, really like. And look on the bag, and a lot of it will depend on the exact formula of that fertilizer, and be sure to put enough around that palm tree. You're going to have, if you don't have a drip line really like you have on some of your larger trees because it's a tall growing palm, but be sure you put enough around and take it off the trunk. I shouldn't take it off the trunk, but move away from the trunk a bit when you're putting it out and add some fertilizer there also. But palm fertilizer with magnesium sulfate, do it in the spring and enjoy.
So maybe not do it right now?
I don't think I'd do it now. I think if you put palm fertilizer on there right now, it wants to generate growth. And either one, you're not going to really get a lot of growth this time of year. And if you do, and we had the hard, hard freeze, you might have sustained some damage.
Great question. All right, yeah. We have another one that just came in.
Cool.
It says, I am planning on trimming some of these shrubs in my front yard. Is it a good time to fertilize after I prune?
Same thing. I just don't think I would, at this time, heading into December, that it's really a little late to put that fertilizer on there. Now, the pruning is really an interesting thing because it kind of goes back to what we were talking about on those palm trees. Let's just take a boxwood. Let's just say a boxwood you've got in front of your house. If you prune it right now, this time of year, it's not a big deal. If you heavy prune it and we have some warmer weather, once again, here comes some new growth. And here comes a hard freeze, and that's not good for the plant. But a lot of people say, now, Mike, should I prune my azaleas?
Okay.
Well, azaleas have already, matter of fact, last summer, they set their buds for next year. Those buds are set. They're going to bloom. And so if you start pruning those azaleas now, you're going to cut off some of the color. But, if you've got these azaleas, say in a hedge along the front of your house, right now they may be a little uneven, have a lot of shoots coming up and all of that. Well, I think a light pruning, a very light haircut, just to trim it up. If for no other reason, when all of those people are coming to your house for Thanksgiving, it looks nice, landscaped, trimmed, really nice. Oh, you may lose a little bit of color, but what's the big deal? You've got all those plants are full of buds. So I think I would do some very light pruning, but I just would not do any heavy pruning. And I, just like we talked a bit about the palms a minute ago, I would wait on that fertilizer till next spring.
Very good advice and great questions. If you've got a question for Mike Wiggins, now is the time to call into the Garden Line on Pep Talk or text in at 850-437-1620. And it is the holidays. We have some ideas here.
I have one here because I know you're the expert on this one.
Oh, so no, sir.
I'm going to hit you with this. But I did have a text from Catherine, our great friend Catherine. Catherine, happy Thanksgiving to you, saying, go to the News Journal, section F, page 7.
Okay, section F, page 7,
so
News Journal.
I've got it right here. I've got it right here. Catherine, thank you very much. The headline is, indoor holiday flowers are perfect for growing in the winter. And it talks about really three different kinds of plants. The first one is a picture of a Thanksgiving cactus.
Oh, I've never heard of that. I've heard of the Christmas cactus.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Over the years, I think many people, yours truly too, kind of looked at the Thanksgiving cactus and the Christmas cactus as the exact same plant. They just, because of the light or the fertilizer or the watering or the care, they just bloomed during the holiday season, and it was the same plant. Not so fast, Mike. They're not. Here's the difference. Thanksgiving cactus have flowers that are horizontal. Okay?
Okay.
And Christmas cactus have flowers that are vertical. And just because of their nature, Thanksgiving cactus will bloom around Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And Christmas cactus, well, obviously, around Christmas. Keep in mind that both of these plants are succulents. They hold water in their leaves, so they're drought tolerant, which makes them so easier to grow. But, you know, they'll store water in those leaves for a long, long period of time. So what you want to do is take that cactus, maybe move it inside so you can enjoy it. And got a couple other hints after the break.
Good morning. This is Pep Talk with Meg, and it's the Garden Line on Tuesday with Mike Wiggins on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Some good questions coming in this morning, so you can text or call us at 850-437-1620. And we've been talking about holiday plants.
We're talking about Christmas cactus, and to finish that up, we said they're drought tolerant. And
right.
If you're going to move it in the house, and say put it on a side table, you know, when you have your folks come in for Christmas and Thanksgiving. If it's dry in your house, if the humidity is down, which it probably is, put it on a saucer with some pebbles and water on the pebbles, and that plant will absorb some of that water.
So you don't want to water it in the
right.
dirt.
You don't need to do that.
That must be what I did wrong.
No, you did nothing wrong. You did the right thing.
No,
remember we talked about that? You talked to it.
Well, true. I talked to it, but it wasn't listening, apparently.
One last thing about Christmas cactus. They live 30 to 40 years.
No, they
don't.
A lot
of people will pass those Christmas cactus on to the next generation.
Okay.
Kind of cool.
You have to pick my jaw off the ground when you just said that, because I am lucky if it lasts 3 or 4 weeks. So clearly,
it's gonna surprise you.
Of a green thumb is sitting right over
here.
No,
they are very, very strong.
Wow.
They're going to make it through no matter what you and I do to them.
Well, I don't know. I could prove you wrong on that point.
I hear you. Okay.
All right. Let's see. Looks like we've got another question.
Oh, sure.
Hang on a second here. Let's see. What would you recommend to take care of this camellia leaf problem? Is it a fungus or jack of iron? Thank you. So there's a picture.
Is there a picture?
Picture. It's kind of a brown, looks like a brownish circular fungus on it.
I tell you what let's do. We're coming up on a long break in a minute.
Okay.
Let me scoot over there and look at that, and we'll answer that question after the break. Okay?
Great.
But one of the short answers to that is Skip Vogelsang is coming on the show with his camellia presentation, if you will. Spend the whole hour with us coming up pretty soon in the next couple of weeks, and so we can get into that. But I'm going to come over and look at that picture, and hopefully I'll have an answer for you.
That sounds great. We'll take a look at that in just a couple of minutes, and in the meantime,
real quick, another plant that was in the article that Catherine sent us was about paper whites, which I think is a great grandchild planting, where you take the paper white bulbs, you get a nice bowl, you put some rocks in it, you just stick the paper whites into the bowl about halfway, fill it up to water to the top of the pebbles, put it in a sunny window, and before you know it, it's going to send up new growth and the beautiful little white flowers. And it's just fun to do. It happens relatively fast, and it's just a fun thing to do to kind of teach planting and horticulture to the next generation.
Especially when they see the white blooms. That's
absolutely
so gratifying, right?
Oh, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. So, in any event, that's paper whites, and those are great holiday flowers, too.
All right. We're coming up on the news at 9:30, so we will be back right after the news with more with Mike Wiggins, The Garden Line, and Pep Talk coming up after the news. News Radio 92.3. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. And I'm Meg here as your host this morning. So, Mike, we've got a lot of questions coming in. And
good.
This was an older question, I guess, that I opened up, but it was about the taking care of this camellia leaf problem.
Yes,
real
camellia
quick. We went over this earlier, I think.
Yeah, exactly. The camellia leaf had little brown specks on it. Those are, when you have a blemish like that on a leaf, when it's on the internal side, on the internal part of the leaf, not on the edge of the leaf, that's generally a little fungus spot, mm-hmm. probably a little what they call frog eye. I would ignore it. I don't think that's going to be a big deal. What they don't want to ignore is the other part of the leaf is very yellow, and which is indicative of a lack of iron. Mm-hmm. So just be sure this spring when you fertilize it that you use a good azalea and camellia fertilizer that contains iron. And if it's all over the whole plant and you really want to react now, you can buy granular iron or preferably a liquid iron. And the key word to buy in that is chelated iron. And you could go ahead and spray it now. It wouldn't hurt a thing. But I think in the spring is when you're really going to have to take action. So I think you're going to be fine.
All right. We've got a text in from Freddie. And if you do have a question for Mike, you can text in at 850-437-1622, the garden line. It says, FYI, we talked about this last week. I went and got, big capital letters, free Rose of Sharon seeds from Gus. He was the one that had called in and said he had an abundance of seeds. He has tons of seeds left, and if other listeners want some, stop on by. And he says, thanks for the information, Freddie. And I'll get that number out again. Gus's number, and get your pen ready, is 850-549-5767. 850-549-5767 for free Rose of Sharon seeds.
Well, I just want to thank him for offering those seeds. We have great listeners. We have very few listeners who have giveaways.
That's lovely. So thank you. That's right down for the holidays.
We really appreciate that. And appreciate Freddie letting us know about that. Very good. Thanks
and here's
again.
Another text. This is a good one. We were just talking about Christmas cactuses before the break. I have a Christmas cactus that my grandma got when my dad was born in 1942. I've had it for several years. It has not bloomed for me, though. But that's what, 60, 70 years?
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
That is amazing.
That is amazing.
Let me give you one hint just to try this. A lot of times Christmas cactus are going to bloom according to the temperature and the light. If the night temperatures are 50 to, we'll say, 55, then that Christmas cactus should bloom no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's higher than that, you've got to lower the amount of light. So put it in, say for 6 weeks, put it into a low light or a no light situation for part of the day and see if that doesn't help you. but like I say, and our temperatures have been a little warmer than that. Yeah, a little warmer than that. And so that may be one of the reasons. But if it hadn't bloomed all these years,
mm-hmm.
What I need you to do is to go ahead and I would Google how to grow Christmas cactus, because you get a whole list of different hints of things that you can do. We've got to get that thing to bloom.
Yes. No. But I guess it's 82 years.
That's phenomenal.
Wow.
That's phenomenal.
A gift. That's pretty neat for the holidays.
Oh, no question.
All right. Let's go. We're going to talk a little bit more about Christmas cactus. Do you have another one for us?
No more Christmas cactus. Well, I did want to mention other bulb. One more bulb is amaryllis.
Don't
want to spend a lot of time on it, but amaryllis will come up just like those paper whites will, but it takes much longer. So if you started way back, a month or so ago, then you could maybe have the amaryllis coming up and blooming. But a lot of people, I mentioned that, a lot of people, excuse me, give amaryllis kits for Christmas.
I've seen those, yeah, of course.
Where you have the container and the soil and the amaryllis. But here in Pensacola, if you buy an amaryllis bulb online or from a garden center, you can plant it. Plant it right now, and this spring it's going to come up, and it's going to come up year after year after year. It's a great Pensacola perennial.
Really? Okay, so that's a really good Christmas gift then.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Okay.
No doubt about it. And the bigger, the better. No doubt about it. The bigger the bulb, the better.
Okay, we've got a couple questions that just came in.
Sure.
So a little, just tuned in. Sent last time several questions. When is a good time to put fertilizer in the winter? We talked about that a little bit already. Best type of Empire Zoysia, should I put should I put out lime each year? And that's from David in Milton. So
good questions.
Okay.
Good questions. I think it's a little late for fertilizer. I wouldn't do it. I think we just wait till spring. The zoysia grass, the Empire zoysia, is a variety of zoysia. Excellent one. Excellent for our area. So enjoy that. But insofar as the fertilizer is concerned, I would do it probably later than you think, probably into April. Some people even wait till May, but by April you're getting a little restless.
You want to start
so
doing something.
April would be fine. And put out a good, 16-08. And I think that would be the thing to do. Insofar as the lime is concerned, zoysia will like pH in the about 6. That's the number that you want to shoot for. The only way to really tell if you want to put lime on there is to get a soil test. I know our friends at Werner Turf have got a whole program on soil testing where you could send in your sample. It'll tell you what your pH is. That's what we're talking about. And then that will determine whether you need lime. Because keep in mind, our soil here is acid, which means we have the number is 5.5, 5.4. Depends on where you are. And you want to get it up to 6. And that's what lime does. But you don't know what your pH is without that soil test.
How do you determine how much to put?
When you get results back from the soil test, it will tell you.
Ah, okay.
But as a rule, you put out, maybe 35 to 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet, which is a relatively large amount. But I wouldn't do it unless you got the soil test. Unless you're so busy in your life that you don't have time to go get a soil test. That being the case, I would put it out at that rate, maybe every 2 to 3 years.
Okay, that makes sense.
A lot
sense.
Of people do that. I know there's some lawn services out there who are really, really good insofar as maintaining lawns chemical-wise, and they have programs that will do it every second year or every third year, generally depending on where you are. So that's what I would do.
Good questions, David. Yeah. Thank you so much. If you have a question, this is Garden Line on Pep Talk at News Radio 92.3. The number is 850-437-1620. You can text in your questions, and we'll do our best to answer them.
Absolutely. Let's go. You ready?
Yes, sir.
One more. Okay. Well, how do you pick out? We're going to move into Christmas trees here. And I have a funny feeling we're not going to finish.
This could be a long topic.
It could be a long topic, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. So I'm going to go. Let's go through it. So what we want to do is talk about how to select your tree. What do you do when you go to the Christmas tree lot and pick out your tree? What should you look for? And then what variety should you look for? So that's what we're going to talk about as we wrap the show up. We only have 15 minutes.
I don't know where the time went, but
it just flew by.
But I cannot wait to hear about Christmas trees. That's coming up next right here on the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. And we'll be back right after the break. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Meg with Pep Talk and Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. And yes, we were talking away when the break ended. Sorry about that.
There you go. Always good to hear from Catherine.
Yes.
I know she sent us a picture of peppermint.
This is a picture of her cactus, a peppermint Christmas cactus that Catherine says she's had for 35 years.
Unbelievable.
Where have I been? I had no idea. The other one was 82 years. Yeah. This
you
one's
thought
35.
You thought yours was going to last 3 weeks?
I was excited if it lasted a month.
But Catherine, thanks for the article out of the News Journal. That was it was good. A lot of times we get these plant articles out of the News Journal, and they're wonderful if you live in Minnesota. But this one really applied to us, and I really appreciate that.
That's great. All right, Christmas trees.
Christmas trees. Okay. We're not going to have time, but here we are. Just a few things. Selecting your tree. What do you do? Number one, before you even leave the house, check the height that you need.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but isn't that kind of a no-brainer?
Well, I'm going to tell you, this is all a no-brainer.
Okay.
That's a no-brainer.
I do know to check the height.
But I've made the mistake. Said, this is the greatest Christmas tree I've ever purchased. Put it in the car, bring it home.
And
it hits the ceiling. No. So anyway, be sure. So select the tree that's 1 foot shorter than ceiling height.
So you have room for your tree topper, right? Yeah,
put your angel, your angel, star, mm-hmm. or whatever you have up there.
Okay.
Absolutely. Then when you get there to buy the tree, run your finger over the branch of the tree. And if the needles kind of come out in your hand, or the branches are really, really brittle, find another tree.
That means it's dry. That it's already it's dying, dry. Pretty much.
Exactly. And that brings up, it's not on my list here, but I'm going to say it anyway. A lot of people will say, I'm going to wait and get my Christmas tree because I want it to be fresh.
Mm.
Well, generally, these trees have been cut a while back. They've been sitting out on this Christmas tree lot in Pensacola for, say, 2 to 3 weeks. We've probably gone through some warmer weather. You can do better buying that tree early, taking it home, putting it in a bucket of water, and then put it up when you want to. You can take care of it better than the folks at the Christmas tree lot, which makes sense. But what you need to do, and this is really important, is when you buy it, if they have this service, is to cut off maybe an inch or two off the trunk. Because what that does, that allows that tree to absorb water. And if you get it home, immediately get it into a bucket of water. And then when you put it up, if it's been out of the water for a period of time, make another cut. Because those things will callus over very, very quickly, and you can put it water in there all day long and it won't be absorbed. So if you
want
to
keep it, just
keep in mind that saying I'm going to wait and it's going to be fresh, you can keep it fresher at home than they can on the Christmas tree lock. Okay, take the tree and bounce it. And some needles may come out, mm-hmm. but if it's a large amount, obviously don't do it. If the tree is wilted, don't buy it. Another no-brainer. Make sure the handle of the tree, that's the trunk coming mm-hmm. out of the bottom of the tree, be sure it's straight. That's important. It must be at least 6 to 8 inches to put it in the Christmas tree stand. Now, nowadays you can buy these Christmas tree stands generally where you buy your tree. I know Bailey's Market over there, when they sell their trees, they will sell you a container, a tree stand, mm-hmm. kind of a rebar stand with a bucket on it that holds water and won't
right.
leak. And when you buy the tree, they will put that on your tree for you, or you can they'll tell them to drill a hole in the bottom of the trunk of the tree, and you can put the stand on there when you get home. And so it's just so important to have something on there that holds water.
Right.
And over at Bailey's, I know, in fact, they'll do it. They'll probably do the same thing out of Pensacola Seed and Garden. I know Larry sells a lot of Christmas trees, and we'll know how to do that.
Now, do you put anything in the water?
Well, that's something we need to talk about here. Here's what the experts say. Adding aspirin.
Aspirin?
Soda. No, let me finish here. this is adding aspirin, soda water, bleach, or sugar is no more effective than water.
Oh, okay. So you don't need to do that.
I've had one or two people tell me over the years that a little bit of vodka in that water.
Ho, ho, ho.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Makes the tree happy. Okay.
That's exactly right. So in any event, a lot of the old wives' tales mm-hmm. of things to put in the water. And I think probably aspirin has been one you hear more than anything else. But no, the expert here says it's not going to work. Just check the tree for insects. Generally, that's not a problem here in Pensacola. Now, once you put the tree up and you bring it indoors, be sure it's got that cut on it. Don't place the tree, this is really a no-brainer, next to the fireplace, the heater vents, or other heat sources. Even next to a sunny window means it's going to dry out quicker if you don't have a good water source. So check that water level every day, which means, and this is not easy for people my age, or not easy for me at my age. I should say that. Other people at my age, it won't be a problem. You got to lay down on the floor.
Yes.
Because one, you got all these presents around the tree. And just reach in there and check and see if it's still got water that's over the trunk.
I think that might be a good job for one of your 10 grandchildren. to crawl under there.
I think so, too. If I can round them up.
Crawl under there. That's
that'll
right.
work. That's exactly right.
We're going to take a quick break here, Mike, and come back and finish our discussion about Christmas trees and the holidays on the Garden Line with Pep Talk at News Radio 92.3. If you have a question, our number here is 850-437-1620. We'll be right back.
Searching for the perfect Christmas gift? Stop by Pensacola Hardware for thoughtful, practical gifts that they'll love and use all year long. Shop local at our store in downtown Pensacola for hand-picked selections. From gourmet cookware like Le Creuset, Heston, Wusthof knives, to custom gift baskets, Yeti gear, and more. Whether it's an exclusive Pensacola ornament or the latest power tools, there's something for everyone on your list. Visit Pensacola Hardware at 20 East Gregory Street and make this holiday season one to remember.
Ho, ho, ho! Get into the island spirit with the Pensacola Beach Chamber of Commerce this holiday season. Join them on December 6th at 6:30 p.m. for the lighted boat parade ending with Santa at Quiet Water Beach and a Soundside fireworks show. Then catch Santa riding the waves along Via de Luna Drive all the way to Casino Beach at the Surf and Santa Beach Parade on Sunday, December 8th at 2 p.m. Don't miss out on a minute of all the holiday fun. Visit PensacolaBeachChamber.com for more info.
Merry Christmas!
DJU winds up looking for Ja'Kai down the field. He's got it. Touchdown. FSU.
The Florida State Seminoles wrap up the season this Saturday night as they host the Florida Gators for the Sunshine Showdown.
Florida takes on Florida State at 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware, All Season Service Network, A1 Auto Diesel Repair, DeFranco Gas, and Calvert's in the Heights.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola this Friday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. That is this Friday at 9:30 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This is Pep Talk in the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Got a couple more things to talk about for the holidays.
Well, we don't have time. Real quick, though, a little hint if you're buying poinsettias. Keep in mind that the red leaves, they're not leaves, they're called bracts, very kin to dogwood, quite frankly, because the blossom, if you look inside the leaves, not inside the leaves, but where the leaves emanate from, there's a little yellow bud in there.
Yes, I've seen that.
Exactly. If it's tight, that's a real fresh poinsettia. If it's wide open, it's not so fresh. A lot of watering hints on poinsettias. We'll talk about a lot of that next week.
Okay.
But I just wanted to say, if you're really shopping for poinsettias, you know, look for that bud. And like I say, if it's wide open, try to find some that are real tight, and you'll get a fresher one.
Okay.
No doubt about it. Now, jumping back to Christmas trees, there's so many different kinds. I think there's something like 40 or 50 different varieties of Christmas trees. But the one that is probably one sold more in Pensacola, and is I think Pensacola's favorite at this point, is a Fraser fir.
Yes, I see lots of those when I go to the shop.
Fraser fir is a great Christmas tree. It has a good shape. It stays fresh. I don't want to say longer than the rest, but it doesn't lose its needles quickly. And it doesn't have those stiff little spines,
you know, yes.
where you have to wear gloves to put ornaments in
right,
there, like
right.
a blue spruce does. So Fraser fir is the favorite. You can buy them almost anywhere, but just keep in mind that it's really the best tree there is. It's really interesting. Fraser fir is now the favorite in Pensacola. But way, way back in the day, do you know what the favorite one was?
I don't know.
Scotch pine.
Oh,
remember Scotch
yes,
pine?
I do, actually.
Scotch pines have had a problem, and you can still buy them, especially if you're on a budget. They're a little less expensive than some, probably less expensive than the Fraser fir. The trunk on them is so big. It was so hard to put that in a Christmas tree stand where
course.
It didn't want to tip over.
Right.
But Scotch pine is okay. Hard to find them that were really straight. That Fraser fir generally will have a straight trunk. That Scotch pine kind of weaves around. So it's Scotch pine is not, I don't even know if you can buy them in many places anymore.
I've definitely seen the Fraser firs. I've seen.
Fraser firs are probably the absolute favorite. Another one, which we'll talk about next week. We'll start off next week with the noble fir.
Okay.
A special tree. We'll talk about that next week.
All right. Time has flown by with Mike Wiggins and the Garden Line here on Pep Talk at News Radio 92.3. Happy Thanksgiving, Mike. Thank you
happy
for the tips.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners. Thanks for the text. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your vacation.
We appreciate all of you. Thank you so much.